Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
But in case you haven't been with us, we have been going through the book of Matthew, more specifically the Sermon on the Mount. And if you are unfamiliar, maybe you've not heard of what the Sermon on the Mount is. This is a sermon that was preached by Jesus Christ and to both his disciples and a multitude of people on a mountainside. Now, if you think trying to listen to a pastor preach through one topic is hard enough, during this sermon, Jesus goes through a plethora, that's a big word, plethora of different topics, ranging from a variety of things like the retaliation, prayer, sexual purity, loving your enemies, right? Could you imagine a pastor preaching through all those things in one sermon today? I'm sure half of us would just, we would lose our minds. But Jesus gives this amazing sermon, and it covers so many different things of what it truly means to be a disciple of his, right? Not only that, but Jesus gets to the heart of what is known as the law, which was the Old Testament law. He goes and he takes it a step further. He says, you heard it said this way, but instead I tell you this, right? And at the very end of Jesus, and we're going to see this in a few weeks, it says that Jesus, when he finished his sermon, he preached as one who had authority, because he obviously does, right? We understand that Jesus is the Word in the flesh, right? So he is giving these commandments to his disciples for us to live by. That this idea of following Jesus, it goes well beyond just being religious. There's deeper meaning to what Jesus teaches. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Isaac preached through Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24, which talked about not laying for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break and steal, but instead to lay your treasure in heaven. Right? This idea of physical things that we get caught up with, right? He talked also about how the eye is the lamp of the body, so we need to be cautious of what we consume. Not just food in general, but things around us, right? We can't just allow things to infiltrate us and change us, right? We need to focus on heavenly things only. All too often, we get caught up in what the world has to offer, and we value worldly things more than we value the things of God. And what Christ teaches us is that there's better things. The things of Him, not the things of this world. So often we choose material things over Christ, and what Jesus says in these passages is that from an eternal perspective, these things are meaningless. Just like the writer in Ecclesiastes says, they're vanity. They have no value from a heavenly perspective. It's a lesson to not let the good things of life tower over even the better things of heaven. As we'll see in today's text, Jesus continues this idea. This is just a continuation of that teaching. The heavenly things are indeed better than earthly things. Today, as we're going to see, Jesus expounds upon this idea with the deeper emotional toil that we as humans can experience, this thing known as anxiety. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and we'll read all the way down to the end of the passage. He says, starting in verse 25, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will drink or what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the reading of the word. So we clearly see this passage is talking about an issue that I'm sure not a single one of us in this room have ever struggled with. I hear some, Pastor Trent. We talk about this topic of worry and anxiety. And as I want us to see today, I think there are three things that Jesus wants us to know about the topic of anxiety through this passage. Three things. If you're a note taker, this is the best I'm going to give you, okay? Number one, Jesus explains the what of anxiety. What is anxiety exactly? He tells us to not be anxious, so what does he mean by that? Number two, he tells us the why of anxiety, meaning why, what reason do we have to be anxious? It's a foolish thing. And finally, we see the how of anxiety. How do we get over it? What do we do? How do we move on past the grips of being anxious into a life of freedom? Those are the three things that I want us to cover today. Most importantly, though, for you today in this room, if you whether you are a born-again Christian who have been following the Lord for years and years, or maybe you don't know the name of the Lord, and maybe you have no idea what I'm even talking about when I'm talking about the things of God, right? There's one thing that's a universal human experience is that we all, Christian and non-Christian, struggle with this topic of anxiety. We all have anxious thoughts. If you tell me that you don't, I would love to hear your secrets because, man. And so hopefully today, by the end of this message, whether you're feeling anxious about something going on in your life, worrying endlessly about the outcome of tomorrow, that by the end of the sermon, you can place all of your fears. Whether you've been following the Lord for years and years, or you've never placed your faith in him, that today you can trust in your God and you can place your fears and anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let's look at this text again, piece by piece, starting with the what of anxiety. What is it? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Read this again with me. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Now, to understand better what Jesus means by therefore do not be anxious, we need to first start off by understanding that word anxiety. In the original Greek text, the word for anxiety is merinaho. If we go to the next slide, I think we've got up there merinaho. Church, could you say that with me? Merinaho. Pastor Isaac, you might have to tell me if that's the right pronunciation because that's what the Blue Letter Bible told me it's pronounced. Merinaho, which means to be troubled with cares. I love that in the King James Version of the text, it says, "Therefore take no thought of your life," which is a great reflection of what anxiety is. It's to be troubled with many thoughts and cares. Would you say that's about what anxiety is? I love this quote I heard one time that said that anxiety is a lot like a toddler. It never stops talking. It tells you that you are wrong about everything and it wakes you up in the middle of the night. Is that, for those who have children, am I right on that? I don't know. I don't have children, so I wouldn't know. I heard another person say, as they speak of anxiety, it's like a stationary bike that you'd find at a gym. You just spin and spin and spin and work and work and work those wheels, but yet you don't go anywhere, right? Anxiety can be a lot of feelings, can't it? It's a subjective experience. A lot of us, we have different feelings of what anxiety is. For some, anxiety may look like nothing on the outside, but internally, that hamster wheel just keeps on turning. It's constant fear, thoughts, all these things. The constant fear of getting things done with no time to do them. The countless hours of lost sleep, staring at the ceiling in the middle of the night, wondering how you'll solve all of your life's problems from your bed. Maybe for some of you, it's the fear of not having enough money to make it to your next paycheck, or not even knowing when that next check is going to even come. How about this? When I say the word taxes, your stomach just begins to drop. Which, to make you more anxious, just know your taxes are due in a few weeks. So there you go. Probably not helping today. We know these things. Even us as Christians, we always live in a constant state of worry. We worry about literally everything. Maybe anxiety for you is not just worrying about tomorrow's troubles, but think about this. Maybe anxiety for you is worrying about yesterday's troubles. The woulda, coulda, shoulda of your life. I I cannot begin to tell you the amount of times I think about a mistake that I've made maybe years ago that just puts a pit in my stomach when I think about it. That embarrassing thing that maybe I did that is just causing me anxiety, right? Maybe for you, it's that job opportunity that you wish you would have taken and would have made your life look so different. Maybe it's that person that you let go too early in a relationship and you regret that in your life. You know, the worst part about anxiety is that it doesn't just stay in your head, does it? Though we can internalize it, maybe sometimes people don't have no idea what we're struggling with. Undoubtedly, anxiety sometimes peeks its head in our actions. I know so many people, and this has been myself included, who can literally worry themselves until they feel sick. Headaches, stomach ulcers, literally shaving years off of our lives because we are constantly worried about the things going on around us. I know people who are so worried about things that they can't eat, they can't sleep, they lose weight, they end up having insomnia because how greatly concerned they are with tomorrow's troubles. And as we look in the world around us, we can see that these things are becoming an actual issue that is medically examinable. It's gotten so bad, according to the World Health Organization, an estimated 4% of our global population experience a medically proven, documented anxiety disorder of some kind. In 2019, 301 million people in the world, 301 million, claimed to have an anxiety disorder, which makes it the number one of all disorders mentally. In teenagers and children, the numbers of those affected by anxiety continue to grow at a staggering rate. According to one Time Life article published in recent years, over 6 million teens in the U.S. have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder of some kind, 25% of the teen population. This number has also proved to be a reflection of the steadily growing rate of those feeling depressed and hopeless, right? Anxiety, it just starts to grow into these things. A recent report by the Center for Disease Control found that 44% of high school students surveyed said they felt sad or hopeless almost every day for the last 2 weeks in a row. And usually that caused them to stop doing their normal activities. So many people are feeling this way. It's not just teens. This modern society we live in has so many pressures placed upon us. It's no wonder why depression and suicide rates are skyrocketing at an alarming rate. All this pressure from burdens that we were never intended to bear. A constant battle in our flesh, a battle that more and more Christians are finding themselves fighting each and every day. If I were to take a scan of this room, I'm sure each and every one of you could raise your hand when I ask you, do you feel anxious about things to the point where it makes you feel worse physically? Right? Worry is such a terrible, terrible thing. Yet for us as Christians, we are commanded something that Jesus already just said. That's why it's so challenging when we read this passage. He says, therefore, do not be anxious about your life. We can't help but feel more anxious when we're told that because, man, how am I supposed to feel any better when you say that? I don't know how many of us in this room would say, if you're feeling terrible, like say you're sick, and somebody says, hey, stop being sick. If somebody came up to me last week when I had my fever and they said, Trent, just stop it, how do you think I would feel? It doesn't make me feel much better, does it? And Jesus himself is saying that right now. He's saying, therefore, I tell you, stop being anxious. And again, we have pride in our hearts, and we naturally say, well, Jesus, how am I supposed to do that? Come on, Jesus, you don't know my life. You don't understand the troubles and the trials that I'm going through. I can't just stop on a dime. You know, Jesus knew that we would say that, and that's why he gives us the why. Look with me at verse 25 again. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now pause there for just a second. We need to understand from a cultural context of who the people that Jesus was talking to here, you need to understand the weight of what he just said. Now, obviously, for us in our modern society, right, clothing, you know, for most of us, I can't say this for everybody, and I understand that, so I don't want to be insensitive, but for most of us, we're pretty blessed, aren't we? We have food on our table. We have water, things to drink. Yet we have clothing on our backs, right? But for the people in Jesus' time, these things were not as easy to come by. In fact, if there was anything for those people at this time to feel most anxious about, it was probably where their food was going to come from. It was probably where their water sources, if they were going to be clean or not, right? It was the clothing on their back that was completely falling apart, right? These people had no clue where their next meal was going to come from, right? These things, it was so difficult and challenging for them. And Jesus tells them, don't worry about those things. Right, look down in verse 31 with me. He says, this is way down in the passage, but he continues his thought. He says, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And here's the part that I want you to catch here. And this is where I think Jesus is getting at why they shouldn't be anxious. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. You can only imagine for those people hearing that, just what? What did you just say? My heavenly Father knows that I need them? Well, of course he does. Jesus gives us this command to not worry, and he tells these people to not worry because of something amazing. He says, hey, I know you're anxious, but your Father knows you're anxious too. But guess what? Your Father is going to provide for you your every need. And so, two things we see there. He says, number one, he knows, we see that our Heavenly Father knows that we need these things. And two, he sees that he will take care of your every need as it arises. Because that's what a Heavenly Father does. You think about it, the idea of an earthly father. I got my dad here right now. I'm going to call him out. Sorry, Dad. He's like, oh, I didn't come for this. I think about growing up, the things that my dad was able to provide for me, my mom and my dad, glad my parents are here. I get to use them as examples in the middle of my sermon. But I think about the things that they were able to provide for me, right? My parents knew that I needed clothes growing up, so what did they do? They provided me with clothes. They knew I needed a meal, right? And so they provided me food, Salisbury steaks every other night, right? You know, good stuff, right? But they knew that I needed these things. If my dad was not a good dad, he wouldn't be taking care of those things. And unfortunately, that's a reality for some people in this world. But that's what a good Heavenly Father does. He provides for his children. So therefore, us as his children shouldn't be anxious because we know that he will provide those things. I love what Philippians 4:19 says. He says, my God, this is Paul speaking. And Isaac, this is the comfort passage, right? Talking about comfort. Right? Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I love that. In the next chapter, Pastor Isaac's going to go through this in a few weeks. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus gives us this beautiful illustration of what it looks like to have a Heavenly Father who provides. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do you see what this passage is saying about the topic of anxiety, about your worries? You need to understand who the God that you serve, who he is. He's a good, good father, like we sing about in those songs, right? He is faithful all of our lives. He knows what you need even before you ask him. Now, don't get it twisted here. I'm not saying that our God's going to provide every little thing that you ask for. If you pray for a sports car, God will give you a sports car. No, 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 that's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that he's going to provide every need that you do need. The things that you don't even recognize that you need. The things you don't even know. Words fall short, right? You don't know what to pray for. Your Father knows what you need. So why be anxious about what tomorrow will bring when you know your Heavenly Father will give you all that you will need for those tomorrows? It's a beautiful thing.
He is a provider for his children. He continues on in verse 26, and he gives us a few more examples of why not to be anxious. Look with me in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Going back to the idea of food and clothing, Jesus gives us two very distinct illustrations of what it looks like for God to provide both of these essentials, food and clothing. First, he tells us to consider the birds of the air. Now, here's the deal. I am no bird expert or bird watcher, but one thing that I can tell you is that when I hear that expression, free as a bird, that sounds about right for birds. When you watch how birds operate, they don't seem to have much of an agenda, do they? All day long, they fly where they want, they perch in whatever place they'd like. They do seem free to the fullest extent of the word. And when I think about an anxious animal, birds aren't usually the ones that I think of when I think of anxious. Again, I'm not a bird extraordinaire, but I can say with confidence I've never seen a bird who has struggled with anxious thoughts, seemed anxious about where their next meal would come from. And I love how Jesus interjects some humor in this passage. He says, you know, these birds, they don't reap or sow, right? They're not, you know, doing anything for their food, really. They just kind of go and they find their food and they're able to eat. They gather things together. They don't do things like we humans do. But yet, they always have something to eat. Why? Because even our Heavenly Father provides for them. I love this little poem that I found. It says the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious humans rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and for me. What a beautiful thing to understand that we see the birds of the air, right? We think of other animals around us, right? All of creation. But yet we, as humans, we worry so much. God has provided for all the animals. Why wouldn't he not provide for us? Understand that we're set apart. Naturally, we're going to be of more value than the birds. It's a beautiful thing to think about. You know, when I think about the idea of Jesus saying that, aren't you of more value than they? Understand what this is saying. For us as human beings, right, we, number one, understand something amazing. In the book of Genesis, we understand that when God created man, right, he created him in his image. He didn't create the birds in his image, did he? He didn't create these other animals that we think of, any animal that comes to mind, right? No, we're set apart. In fact, God gave us dominion over these animals, right? Adam was called to name all these animals, right? We are instantly understanding that we are set apart from these things. And more importantly, understand, you know, Jesus has given this kind of a silly illustration here of these birds, but understand something important. When Christ came to this world to live and to die, he didn't die for the birds, did he? He didn't die for your pet dog, right? He died for you because you are set apart. That's how much value that you have, is that his one and only son, Jesus, would come and to go to a cross and die on your behalf. Why? Because he loves you and because you have been set apart from all creation. That's how you need to understand why you are set apart, why he gives this illustration. He understands your needs. He knows why you're anxious, but understand that you are set apart. It's a beautiful thing. He continues on, right? He talks about in verse 28 about being anxious about clothing. Right? Let me read this passage again. He says, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus continues looking at the things around the listener, right? Nature, God's creation. He tells us again to consider them, mentioning the lilies of the field. Now, I found this a really amazing picture. This is supposed to be a picture of Galilee. And these are some wildflowers. Look how beautiful these flowers are. These wildflowers that grew in this area. What an awesome illustration to understand, to consider these lilies of the field, how they're growing. They grow in such a beautiful way. And then he reflects that with King Solomon, who was the richest king Israel ever had. And to think of the majesty of the King Solomon. And he says, not even Solomon was able to get dressed up as nice as these flowers that God has created. And he reflects on this thought, because we get so caught up with what we're going to wear, right? He says, well, why are you worried about those things? They don't matter. God is going to provide for that too. What I love about this, I love what Martin Luther had to say about this passage. He says, it seems that the flowers, they stand there and they make us blush and they become our teachers. Thank you, flowers, you who are to be devoured by the cows. God has highly exalted you that you have become our master and teacher. See, what Jesus is doing with both talking about the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, is he's trying to get us to focus in on that our God is a God of intentionality, right? He has set all things in motion and in order. Nothing is outside of his grasp. So why are you anxious about if your God's going to provide these things for you or not? Everything else in creation seems to understand it, right? The flowers, they don't have to worry about how they're going to grow, right? They just do it because God has commanded them to do it. The birds of the air, they don't have to worry about where their food's going to come from. Because why? Because they just naturally know to follow God's order. But yet we as humans, we are so complex in our minds. And we complicate things, don't we? When God tells us not to worry, we go through all the things of how, oh, well, yeah, you tell me not to worry, but I got so many things to worry about. God tells us to not be anxious. Understand that all creation's got to figure it out, so why don't we? If God has provided for you thus far, why won't he continue to provide for you? God is indeed intentional with his creation. These things have been created with intentionality and purpose, and guess what? He didn't make a mistake when he made you either. Maybe sometimes with your anxiety, you feel so broken. You feel like, man, I just can't get this thing right. My brain, it doesn't work. God has created you with intentionality and purpose, right? Think about the psalmist that says, he knitted you together in your mother's womb. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Again, you were called out from creation. You were called to follow Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. You are set apart from creation to do that, to give him glory. The God of all creation, the one who set the stars into motion, the one who made the oceans rise and fall, the God who has sculpted the mountains, the one who has made the light of the day and all the beautiful creations that we see around us. Not only did he create us in his image, but he calls us to be children of his, that we may call him Father. Yes, indeed, when we call him Father, he does indeed, like a good father should, care for the things in our lives, both the big and the small. Yes, he is indeed still listening to you as you cry out to him. Yes, he is still a faithful God, even when you are unfaithful to him. He has indeed set you apart. And if you need any more of a thesis to prove that he cares for your every need, all I ask is you look towards the special hill called Calvary, where he gave his life for you to show that he cares for you, where he demonstrated his love once and for all. The Lord of all creation has indeed set you apart. He knows your name. Not only this, but he knows your thoughts. He knows your trials and your troubles, and he indeed is there. He is just that good. Maybe some of you will say, well, I can't talk to God. He doesn't talk back to me. Have you considered reading his word? Well, I can't see God with my eyes. Well, have you considered nature, his creation? His handiwork is all over. Well, how can I know what he wants for my life. Well, have you considered giving all of your life to him and not just some of it? These are all things to consider when we understand the topic of anxiety. Why are we so anxious? I think it comes down to a simple thought, is that we lack faith that our God will provide. Anxiety, the core of anxiety is having no faith, little faith, that our God is providing for us. He indeed does provide. We just need to be focused on him. Now, how do we actually fight this topic of anxiety? How do we fight the anxious feelings that we feel? Because don't get me wrong, anxiety is a horrible thing to deal with. And for some of us, there's just chemical imbalances in our brain. We just can't get past it. It's an understandable thing. But Jesus gives us ample reasons to not be anxious throughout this text. He walks through different examples of why we should not be anxious. Then, as a good teacher should, he gives us the ultimate answer on how we can live our lives without the dark, heavy weight of anxiety weighing over us. And we see that in verse 33. Read this with me if you would. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Such a simple yet powerful command that Jesus gives to us as both believers, for maybe those of us who have never heard that passage before. The simple answer to a lot of life's troubles starts with this passage here. Seek first, not secondly or thirdly, but first, after the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If I was to say that in another way, maybe for better understanding, seeking after the things of God, and all these things will find its place in your life. I've heard it said it this way, when, you know, we take a moment, we examine our busy lives. We wonder, where is the root of our anxiety coming from? Why are we so anxious all the time? Why are these things happening? When we look really deeply at our lives, we realize how busy we are. And it's evident that when we see where we place our Christianity, our faith, oftentimes I think we like to put Jesus in a little box, don't we? Put him along the clutter, right? We squeeze him in to our week. We compartmentalize our faith along with our hobbies and our interests. Yet I tell you today, it should not be so. The reality is Jesus does not belong in a box. He is far greater for us to ever be able to do that to him. He's not just another one of your hobbies or interests. In reality, to be fully sold out for the kingdom of God, and to furthermore shake the ground of our religiosity, we must have Christ at the center of all that we do. Not to the right, not to the left, not an afterthought. It's not a side quest, but indeed Christ needs to be at the center. To put him elsewhere is just foolish. When we often wonder why we are so anxious and worried all the time, the reality is the answer is staring right back at us in the face. The reality is the reason we're so anxious is we're not keeping him central in our lives. We are allowing everything else in the universe to speak to us, but not the Word of God. The root of our anxiety, I think, too often is just lack of faith, lack of ability to keep Christ central to us. We're not abiding in the vine of Christ. It's a terrible thing to do. As the passage finishes, it says in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The simple yet powerful statement Jesus gives to finish the chapter, it can be a sermon all in itself. No self-help book, therapist, or mental health guru can make such a beautiful claim. The reality is that tomorrow will never be today, and today will never be tomorrow. Might need to say that again. The reality is that tomorrow will never be today. Today will never be tomorrow. What we are planning on or expecting for tomorrow might not ever happen. I think one of my favorite reminders of this is in James 4. Many of you know this passage. This is one of my favorite passages. James 4:13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. all such boasting is evil. Friends, the reality is that we cannot control what tomorrow will bring, nor can we confirm with full assurance that tomorrow will even happen. See, so often we live our lives in tomorrow that we forget about today. And the joy it is to breathe, live life today. Understand that tomorrow and all its cares and troubles will figure themselves out in due time. As Jesus says, sufficient for today is its own trouble. Don't focus on tomorrow. Don't focus on yesterday. Focus on today. You know, one of my things I think about a lot is just all the time that I have wasted in my life worrying about what tomorrow will bring or the troubles that faced me in yesterday's time. All the todays that came and went that were filled with grief, worrying about things that had already happened or haven't even happened yet. You know, I'd like to think that that's wasted time because I lose sight of the fact that my God is still the same God that he was yesterday. He's still the same God today, and he's going to be the same God tomorrow. So why should I fear of what tomorrow will bring? I love what Mark Twain, famous writer, said. He said, worrying is like paying a debt that you don't owe. I love what he also said. He says, I've spent most of my life worrying about things that never even happened. How true is that? Even our Lord Jesus knew this to be true, hence why he gave such a lengthy discourse on worry. Again, I pray that you can be reminded that worry has never done us any good. It's never changed the outcome of any trouble that we've ever had. Love what another Christian writer, Corrie ten Boom, said. He says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strengths. How true is that? Friends, I want to leave you with just three challenges as you think about your life. You think about the anxious thoughts and the worry that you have. Three things, three challenges that I want to have for you today. Number one, first thing to challenge our anxiety is we must turn our fear into faith and our panic into prayer. We must turn our fears, the things that we're so afraid of, we need to turn it into faith. Faith that our God will provide our every need. And when we feel anxious, prayer should be our first option, not our last resort. I hear that all the time and I love that. In Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, there is that charge from Paul to not be anxious. And who better to be anxious than the Apostle Paul, writing this from a prison cell? Don't be anxious about anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, give thanks to your God because he has given you many amazing things. Make your request made known to God. That was number one. Turn our fears into faith, panic into prayer. Number two, we must trust that our God will indeed provide strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. One of my favorite passages, you probably hear it all the time, is Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We need to trust that our God indeed will provide strength for today because we have a bright hope tomorrow. Number three, finally, we must remember that Christ is indeed the same yesterday, today, and for all eternity. And most importantly, he's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what kind of things you have going on in your life, he has not changed. Though our circumstances change all the time, the joy that we have in Christ will remain forever. I love how people say happiness is a fleeting emotion, joy is eternal. And that is something that we can rejoice in. Hebrews 13:8 reminds us of this. It says that Jesus Christ is indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. As we're running out of time here, I invite the praise team up. My friends, lose the shackle of anxiety and fear. Know that your God will provide for your every need, and he will indeed establish your steps. Christ has already won the battle over anxiety. Trust in him today. There's a great quote that I want to finish with. So often we live in tomorrow's troubles. But Jim Elliot said it best. Famous American missionary, as we talk about missionaries this month. Wherever you are, be all there. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Today has its own troubles. Christ, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, it's a very simple thing. I want to give you a chance to accept Christ as Lord today if you've not already done so, or rededicate your life to him if you've fallen short. It's as simple as this, coming before the God in prayer, saying, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your grace. Lord, will you save me? If you've never asked that prayer today, I would love to pray for you today. Also, I love to be a pastor who is able to help you. And so in your bulletin, I made a printout with some scriptures and some things to do when you feel anxious. Because let me tell you, it's still hard. Even hearing the gospel preached today, you could still struggle with anxiety. I get it. And so hopefully those things can help you. So let me pray for you, and we'll sing one final song.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.